are not going to like this morning's sermon. But I don't like it either. I don't like preaching it. We don't like to think about hell. I don't like to think about it. I don't like to preach about it because we are not going to go there. And I like to think about heaven and I like to preach about heaven because that's where I want to go. But if I'm going to teach and preach the truth, then I have to speak about this, the eternal punishment that God has reserved for those that disobey Him. Because it is part of God's truth. I think one of the reasons why we don't like to think about hell is because we're afraid. I think we're afraid that we'll go there. And I think we're afraid because we know that there will be people that we love that will go there. And that's not a good thought. Because God did not prepare hell for us. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. But we know that it is a truth that there will be more people that will be lost in hell than will be saved in heaven. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way, and many there be that enter in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So it is a powerful truth of God's Word. And I want us to explore it some this morning. Hell, my friend, is real. The Bible speaks about it. The Master speaks about it. In numerous passages of Scripture, we read in Luke 16, or we read in Matthew 10 and verse 28, that fear not them that are able to destroy the body. This is Jesus talking. But not the soul, but rather fear God, who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. In Mark 9, in verse 43, there Jesus says, "If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Be better to go through life not being able to see than to be cast into hell." And Luke says the same thing. And James chapter 3 and verse 6 talks about how the tongue is so hard to control. And it said it can be set on with the fire of hell. In Matthew 13, verse 42, it tells us there that it is a furnace of fire. So hell is real. We know that to be a fact. Because not only are those passages of Scripture, but it's many, many others. Now, hell is not a condition or a state of mind or an imaginative evil. There are some that says, you know, there's no hell except what you make in your mind, what you have in your life, here on earth. You can make your life a hell on earth. And try to discredit the fact that hell is not real. It is real. It is not simply an imaginative thing. It is not simply a state of mind. And if heaven is real, then hell is real. Now, the same people that don't want to believe that hell is real want to believe that heaven is real. But the same Master that taught us the the truth about heaven teaches us the truth about hell. In fact, in the passage of Scripture that Brother Joe read for you this morning, in the same breath, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, Jesus says, "And these shall go away into eternal destruction, and the righteous shall go into life eternal." So he's teaching about both heaven and hell. So if hell is real, if heaven is real, so is hell. Another thing is that if hell is not real, then Jesus was trying to deceive. And we know that that's certainly not true. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those things, those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear God, who after he is killed has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." In this passage of Scripture, Jesus points out three things. Number one, he points out that hell is something you need to fear. I need to fear. Because it is a real place. He also points out here that hell is something that comes after death. It's not, we may think this world sometimes is a hell that we're living in, but this is not it. The hell that God has prepared for the devil and his angels comes after death. And also, Jesus points out here that hell is not the grave. So three very, very important things that we read from the very lips of Jesus concerning the reality of hell. So, what is hell like? What will hell be like? Well, one thing that we can know about hell is that it is going to be a place of flaming fire. I want you to listen very carefully or read along with me from Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 and verse 42. Jesus again is speaking here, and he says, "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into a furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Jesus says here, along with other passages of Scripture, Luke 16, verse 24, Romans 20, verses 14 and through 13, and many, many others, that hell is going to be a place of fire. Fire is a horrible thing. To die of burns is a very, very horrible and painful death. God couldn't use anything any worse than the flames of hell to describe a horrible place. We know that in Matthew 13 and 42, that's a furnace of fire. Revelation 20 and verse 9 and 10 says it's a lake of fire. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9 says a place of flaming fire. For the fire of hell is said to be everlasting. Matthew 18 and verse 8, 25 and verse 41, Jude chapter verse 7. That it is unquenchable. Mark 9 and verse 43 and 48. That is polluted with fire and brimstone. Revelation 21 and verse 8. So we read that first of all, that hell is a horrible place. A place of burning fire. But not only that, we read that hell is a place of unquenchable thirst. Have you ever been really thirsty? I mean, really, really thirsty? Back whenever I was playing football, you didn't get water breaks. Somehow, coaches had the concept that if you drank water, you weren't going to get in shape. And so we would practice all those 2-a-days without any water break. And I think that's the most thirsty I have ever been in my life. I can remember my lips sticking together because they were so dry. And you get old cotton mouth. Some of y'all know what that is, and some of you have no concept, but that's when your mouth gets so dry, it just, there's just no moisture, there's no spit, there's nothing. And your old mouth just kind of sticks together. I know this sounds horrible, but I would be so thirsty that I would get the towel that everybody was wiping the sweat off, and I'd suck on that towel. Now that's pretty thirsty. Well, that's another way that God uses, another imagery that God uses to describe another horrible, horrible condition of hell, where you are so thirsty. And you remember in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, how that he asked if Lazarus could just dip his finger in water and just touch his tongue, one little drop. He so desired, begged for just one drop of water. And yet, in contrast, in heaven we're told that there are rivers of waters. Rivers that spring. And such a opposite picture of what hell is like. And then another thought about hell is it's a place that's populated with the most depraved people of all time. I think about Revelation, the book of Revelation 21 and verse 8. Listen to how here the Spirit describes hell. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Or listen to how that Paul in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19, describes. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also have told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you don't get to go to heaven, there's only one other choice, and that's hell. What if that every thief and liar and murderer and sodomite and prostitute and gambler and blasphemer and idolater and a sorcerer and extortioner and drunkard and dope addict and hater of God, what if they all lived in one big city? Now let me ask you a question. Would you want to live there in that city and raise your children? Would you? No, 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 1,000 times no. You wouldn't want to move there. You wouldn't want to take your children to a place like that. And that's exactly what hell is going to be like. That's who's going to be there. Do you want to spend eternity with that kind of people? Hell is not a good place, I'm telling you. Not only that, but we also see that hell is a place of unrelenting pain. It's a place where pain never stops. I've had a lot of surgeries, and a lot of pain goes along with these. Some of y'all have had some of the same ones, your knees and shoulders and gallbladder. That's not a good one, is it, Jazz? No, it's not. And there's pain that comes along with these surgeries. But you know, the one thing that I think about and push through was that there's coming a point, if I can just hang on to, at some point, this pain will stop. My body will fight it off, and I won't have to deal with this pain anymore. But one of the things about hell is it don't quit. There is no place down the line. There is no 6 weeks or 3 months or a year when this pain will stop, when I won't be so thirsty, when I won't be in this burning flame. It don't stop. It's forever. It is an unquenchable, unbelievable, continuous pain and suffering. I don't think we really get that through our heads. If we really could, and I'm hoping and I'm praying, dear God, help us this morning through these powerful revealing passages of Scripture. Help us to see what we have in store if we miss heaven. We can't miss it. We just can't miss it. Because this is a horrible, horrible place. We know that there's a consciousness there in hell. according to Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 34. In hell men see, Luke 16 and verse 23. They feel, verse 24. They talk, verse 24. They reason, verse 30. They remember. In hell you remember, verse 25. That remember is can be a tough thing. The prayers, the opportunities that we had, those that loved us and pleaded for us and with us. If you don't make it to heaven, God forbid, you might even remember this sermon. This day. It's a torment forever, Revelation 20, verse 10. It's a punishment, Matthew 25, verse 46. It's tribulation and anguish, Romans 2, verses 8 and 9. There is no rest, Revelation 14 and 11. There's gnashing of teeth, Matthew 25 and verse 30. And yet on the other hand, heaven's just the opposite. No pain. No tears. No death. Everything that hell is, heaven is not. And just as horrible as hell is, that's how awesome and wonderful heaven will be. I know that one of the things that makes hell a hell is that it is a place of separation from God. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9 is where Paul writes and says, "You who are troubled, rest with us. For the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those that know not God and obey not the gospel, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the face of God and the glory of His power." One of the things that is going to make hell hell is that we are going to be separated from God. It's said to be a blackness of darkness in Matthew 25 and verse 30. Because God is light. Separation from God, there is no light. But someone says, "Well, wait a minute now. You said there's going to be a fire there. Now you're telling me it's a blackness of darkness forever. How can it be fire and be dark?" Man can make heat and fire that doesn't have light. If man can do it, I know that God can do it. And you know that's so eerie, isn't it? Blackness of darkness forever. Ever been scared of the dark? Well, even as a grown-up, it's still sometimes kind of eerie. There are times when I have to come up to the building here to get something or do something. And, man, I'm going to tell you what, a church building at night, it creaks and it groans. And, man, turn on that light real quick. Glad to see the light come on. Just still, you know, I mean, I'm 74 years old and it's still just eerie. Blackness of darkness. It says that in Revelation 21 and 8 that it's a place of death. because God is the source of light. You're separated from God. You're separated from the source of light. You're separated from the source of life. It says that it's a place of misery. Revelation 20 and verse 10. Because you're separated from God, you're separated from the source of all comfort. So to be separated from God is a horrible, horrible part of hell. Not only that, but hell is a place where memory lives on. You remember whenever the rich man was pleading and begging to have some kind of relief from where he was? And he was told, son, remember. Remember in life you had the good things and Lazarus had the evil things. Now Lazarus is comforted and you are tormented. Remember that? He could remember his brothers. He said, I've got five brothers back there. Send somebody so that they can tell them. If I can't get out of this place, send somebody to tell them, because they're coming the same route that I traveled and they're coming here too. And I don't want them to come here. He could remember about his brothers. It's just not a place where you want to be. And then hell is a place where your prayers are not answered. You remember how the rich man prayed and begged and pleaded? There are not any infidels in hell. Bible said at judgment every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. There won't be any infidels in hell. Everybody in hell will believe in God. And we'll spend countless hours crying out for relief. With no one to hear them. No one to hear their prayers, no one to answer their prayers. And oh, the rich man prayed. He may not have been a prayer on the earth, but whenever he found himself in torment, he lifted up his eyes and pleaded. The rich man who fared sumptuously, dressed in purple and fine linen, found himself begging, pleading from the very depth of his soul, only to be told, him. Your prayers, your faith, your concern for your lost brothers, all of that is too late. Too late. Then finally, one more thing, and then let's quit talking. Hell is a place where you can never escape. Once you go there, you can never come back. In Luke chapter 16, it talks about how there's a great gulf. That word is chasma. The Greek word is chasma. Word from which we get chasm. A great expanse. And the rich man was told, we can't come to you, and you can't come back. You don't have another chance. I know the rich man, and I wonder how many that will lift their eyes in hell, how many would make a change in their life if they could. If they could just have one more chance. But partner, this is it. This is it. This is your one time through. This is your one and done. Because you do not get another chance. Does this sound like a place? Does this sound like a place that you want to spend forever and ever 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 and ever? And I know the answer to that question is no. But this morning, you've got one of those things I was talking about a while ago, or those things called a chance, an opportunity. I don't know how many more you'll get. None of us do. Life's a vapor. Appears for a little while and then gone. So I know you got a chance this morning. My friend, if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins and added to the family of God, you got a chance. Have you been putting it off? Have you said to yourself 50 invitation songs? I know I need to go up. I know I need to be baptized. I know I need to put away all these preconceived ideas and do what the Bible says, but I'm just going to wait. And you're on thin ice. Every day that you drive out on 49, you are a few inches from a collision. Every day you wake up and see the sun, you have to know that you might not see it again tomorrow. Say, well, preacher, you're scaring me. Well, we ought to be scared. And I don't apologize for it. Because I want you to go to heaven. And I want to go too. So if you've been putting that off, don't blow a chance. Because in hell, you don't get them. You don't get chances. If, brother, you've wandered away and you've let this world become more important to you than you know it ought to be, and there are things that you have consistently and constantly put ahead of God, there are things that you're doing that you know and have said 100 times, I need to quit doing this. Today's the day you need to try to draw the line in the sand. Because Because I'm telling you, it's real. God knows. And has said time and again in His book, it's real. I told you you wasn't going to like it, and I don't like it either. But it's God's truth. Think about your soul. Will you come while together we stand and sing?